For all of you on the right side of the balcony who can't see me at all, I feel your pain. I sat up there too. Sorry about that. But anyways, I had the opportunity of meeting Dr. Cutler about 2 years ago. Woo! I don't know, can you all see that it says Mike Cutler? That's what it says on the front of their shirts, Mike Cutler. Yeah, right there. That's it. Nice. I met him the day that I changed my major from English literature and left Dr. Strait, I'm very sorry, and changed my major to sociology. I chose him as my advisor because everyone kept telling me, students love Dr. Cutler. And I was like, that's great, guys. And I was like, well, I'm a student, so I'll probably love him too. So since that time, which was about 2 years ago, I've had, I think, 7 classes with him, and I've had countless conversations with him about grades and assignments and God and my future and perfectionism and all sorts of good things like that. So during that time, I've learned a couple of things about Dr. Cutler that I think... Okay, I'm going to start to call him something else that I think anyone who knows him at all would agree with. One being he likes to do things differently. I think anyone who has been in any of his classes knows that. So I've had the opportunity in some of his classes to do some of the coolest things that I've done at Asbury, including visiting a Unitarian Universalist church and getting to help organize and put on human trafficking task force meetings for the campus. And I also did an in-depth study of Madonna's mystery religion, Kabbalah. So that was a good time. In addition to liking to do things that are out of the box, he does those things because he wants to push students. He likes to push them out of their comfort zones and out of the classroom because that's where he believes that students will gain experience and skills that are going to help them when they leave college. And in light of the fact that I'm graduating in a month, I'm excited about having that sort of practical knowledge. The second thing that I've learned about Dr. Cutler is that he's passionate about... You all didn't stand up. What happened? Oh, thanks. Okay. Second thing that I learned about him was that he loves college students. He's done a lot of things in his life before he was a professor, but one of those is that he was a college pastor. And his heart for students shows very clearly in the classroom. He wants students to become the best that they can be. He wants them to become exactly what God created them to be, and he doesn't want fears or insecurities to hold them back from that. So he's very willing to be honest about his own struggles and his own weaknesses in an effort to encourage students to overcome those in their own lives. So I've found that Dr. Cutler is an advocate for students academically, spiritually, in life in general. He certainly has been that for me. So I can guarantee you 2 things about this message that he's going to bring to us. One, it will be unexpected and different. And 2, it will come from a heart that is passionate about God and that's passionate about college students. So help me in welcoming him to the music stand.
Well, thank you, Kelsey, for that very kind and generous introduction. How are you doing this morning? Yeah? You guys are awesome, by the way. Thanks, don't you? Great music? Yeah. Man. Now, I gave him a few lessons before chapel, so he followed really well. Thanks. And welcome to our high school students. Listen, if you're still trying to decide where to go to college and do music stuff, this is the place. You'll find no better in the country. I mean, we have diversity in music. We have incredible talent, the best music professors that you'll find anywhere, I promise. So consider Asbury College. Today, we're going to talk about making good decisions, fearless class, okay? We're going to talk about making wise decisions. And sometimes it's good to look at bad decisions to know what good decisions look like. So we... sent Brianne Beck and Luke Beavers, 2 rock star MediaCom students, cross campus to find out some bad decisions that students have made lately. So let's roll that clip.
Michael Wheeler.
What's up?
What is there a mistake or a bad decision that you've made that you'd be willing to share?
Yeah. Bad decisions. Can I have a moment?
Yes, go ahead.
That's a really hard question.
Sorry. Right. Meredith Bacalier, you screwed up a lot. What are some mistakes you've made?
The mistake I've made is in first grade, I told my first grade teacher I had a twin, but my parents didn't like her, so they sent her away, and it was all a lie. My parents found out and were so mad at me.
Bad decision?
Bad decision, yeah.
Would you call dipping in the reservoir a bad decision?
I believe that's a felony, so yes. Yes. Are there any mistakes or bad decisions that you made?
Not walking away, actually.
Not walking away from me?
Yes.
Oh. That is a bad decision.
I'm trying to think of worst. The list is so long. goodness.
I gave up my social life to be a computational math major.
You taking Calc 2, Dr. Collette, and doing tumbling and varsity tennis in the same semester. It was probably a sophomore year. That was a mistake.
Did you get confused sometimes and end up doing tumbling while you were doing tennis?
Close.
Mm.
I didn't
read my Bible. That was a lie. What was the lie?
That I did something that I did not do.
What was the thing that you did?
It was like a homework assignment.
Oh.
Like practice.
I don't know why. I've never
gotten that. I thought it was 8:30 in the morning, and so I took a shower, but it was only 2:30. So I went back to sleep.
Get anything juicier?
I'm done here.
Well, how about that? They say that confession is good for the soul. Someone said that. So we're going to stand up and turn to your chapel buddy. You have a chapel buddy, right? Or someone. And just stand up and tell them a bad decision that you've made. But make sure it's not too bad because we want you to come back next semester. All right? So stand up. Take about 30 seconds and share some decision that you wish you could take back. All right, you can have a seat. I pronounce you all forgiven in the name of Jesus. I don't know. Can I do that, Greg? Never mind. Okay. Hey, this is why this is so important, because your age group, I mean, you've got so many decisions to make, right? I mean, seniors, where am I going to work? Should I go to grad school? The rest of us, what class to take? What should I major in? Should I get involved in this relationship or that relationship? I mean, there are just so many important decisions that we make, especially at this age and time in our life. How about things like whether to sign up for that credit card offer you got in the CPO? And you don't have a job. So, I mean, we got all kinds of decisions that we have to make. And sometimes, well, let's face it, we just kind of make dumb and dumber decisions, like my good friends Harry and Floyd up there. Probably not a good idea to drive to Vail, Colorado on a little mini bike. But sometimes we make decisions that don't turn out so great. But that's okay. God can use all of our decisions. His grace is always there to pick us up and put us on the right path. But what about moral decisions and ethical decisions? I mean, at your age, at my age, we can make decisions that can just shipwreck our life if we don't really think about what would be the wise thing to do. And so we've all made decisions we regret. I've done it all the time. I'll probably make one today. But I think in Scripture, we find a key that will help us make good decisions, that will help us to avoid some of the pain and discomfort that comes when we make poor choices. So if you have your Bible this morning, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. If you don't, that's all right. Just listen along here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. See, the coolest thing about the Bible is this, is that it's incredibly relevant. You know that. And it speaks to the human need on every level. And I think contained in Scripture is the key. If we'll just grab a hold of it, will help us to make wise decisions and avoid some of the heartache and pain that we can experience sometimes in life. And by the way, I can neither confirm or deny any of those stories on the screen are true. They're probably most of them made up, in case Dr. Troyer's in here. Okay. All right. So be careful, Paul says in Ephesians 5, be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. Do not act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what God wants you to do. I mean, right here's the key. Be careful how you live and make the most of every opportunity. Why? Paul's saying because the days are evil, or the days are troubled or challenging, and certainly that applies for today. And so Paul is telling the church, he's saying, look, try to understand what God wants you to do. And what does God want you to do? Well, he doesn't want us to live as fools, but he wants us to think about things and live wisely. So what is God's will for us, Paul is saying? Very simple, that we would make wise decisions. So I'm going to give you a really simple thing, all right? Just get this locked in your brain. Every time you need to make a decision, and I'm not talking about like what toothpaste to buy or something like that, you know, like important things, ask yourself the question, what is the wise thing to do? That sounds simple enough, right? How many of you ever ask that before you make important decisions? Yeah, a few of you, not so much, a little bit. Might think about it for a minute and then go ahead and make a spontaneous decision. But this one question, I mean, it'll cut through all the layers of justification that we come up with to do the things that we want to do. Just ask yourself, stop and think, what is the wise thing for us to do? And so God has a different way for us to make good decisions, and it's by making the wise choice. So Paul says, don't be foolish, but understand what God's will is. And what is God's will? To be wise in every situation or decision that we have. Now, Proverbs talks about four kinds of people, all right? And I was going to have four chairs up here, but there was not room, so I've enlisted some incredible musicians to help me out here. Now, there are four kinds of people, Proverbs says, or four kinds of decisions that people make. The wise, the naive or simple, the fool, and the mocker. And so, that's wonderful. Thank you very much. So we're going to talk about each one of these decisions, and we're going to talk about three very simple principles for making the right decision. All right, you guys can put those down. Thank you. We'll start with the naive first. Who's got the naive poster? All right. Everybody got this in your head now, okay? The naive. Now listen, we spend a lot of time when we're young making naive decisions, right? We viewed a lot of naive decisions up on the screen. But you know, listen, young people, young adults, young men and women, older men and women, sometimes we make naive decisions, and it's not really a put down. It's just that maybe we haven't had the experience yet to really learn what the right thing to do in a certain situations. Proverbs 7 says this, at the window of my house, I looked through the lattice, and I saw among the naive a young man who lacked judgment walking down the street near her corner. This older guy is watching this younger guy walking down the street toward her corner. This is about to get scandalous, folks. But yet he knows what's going to happen. Why? Well, because he's seen it before. He's been there. He's lived some life. But the younger guy, not so much. Just kind of carried away with his own passions and desires and not really thinking of the consequences, because maybe he hasn't experienced those yet. But listen, we all make naive decisions sometimes. That's great. Thanks. You want to hear a few of mine? One time in high school, I went corning cars. Now, some of you who did not grow up in the country, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But some of my students have heard this story. Corning cars is where you go into a farmer's field after the corn is, old and hard and right before they pick it. And you get all the kernels off the cob and you get a whole sack full of corn and you go hide in a ditch and you wait for cars to come by. And you just toss a handful of corn at cars. That's big fun, right? When you go into country, you don't have much to do, so you got to come up with things. Well, my friends convinced me that this would be a great thing to do, and so I joined them corning cars. And listen, don't do it. It can be dangerous. It was really stupid to do. But naively, they said, okay, here comes a car. You get this one, Mike. I'm like, yeah, okay. This will be my first time. I was so excited. And so I waited just until the car came, and it's pitch black, you understand. And I heave a big handful of corn, and you can just hear it hit the car, like pop, 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 pop. And then all of a sudden, I see these bright flashing lights. And I hear this loud siren. And yes, I have just corned a sheriff's deputy car. Fortunately for me, I was young enough that I could outrun the deputy sheriff. And man, it was the dumbest decision in the world to do that. But I was naive. I was young. I was convinced by my friends this would be fun and harmless, and it was almost a trip to the local jail. So I wouldn't advise that. When I was in high school, I also I took an ACT test. You've heard of those, right? I didn't do so well either. As a matter of fact, when I came to Asbury College, I had to beg them to let me in. I said, please, I'll do better. I promise. Well, it's not a good idea to stay up until 4 in the morning, the night before you take an ACT test. But I thought I could. I'm young, right? No problem. Naive decision. So we make these naive decisions, and sometimes the consequences can be a little challenging. So what do we do if you're naive, if you're young? Well, here's what I suggest. First of all, take time to listen to people older and wiser than you who have been there before. And sometimes even asking the question, is this the wise thing for me to do, might help avoid corning a sheriff's car. That'd be a really good thing to do. And also, find a mentor. I'm really passionate about this. Everyone in this room, if you're a college student or not, high school students, you need a mentor in your life. I mean, you need someone who's wiser, who's walked the journey, who's been where you're about to go, that can be there to provide guidance and wisdom along the journey. Now, the second kind of person that Proverbs talk about is the fool. Just throw that up and throw it back down. Gets a little worse here, folks. The fool, Proverbs says, is not naive, okay? The fool knows better and does it anyway. The fool has read the warning label and continues acting on decisions that aren't so wise. Proverbs says this about the fool, and sorry if it sounds disgusting, but hey, it's God's word. A fool is like a dog that returns to its vomit. Folks, I've seen that. It's nasty, okay? But that's what the fool does. The fool makes bad decisions and then makes them again because they don't care. They've experienced the consequences and they've said, big deal. I can live through it again. I made it one time. I can make it another. But, there can be dire consequences for the person who makes foolish decisions. I've made a few foolish decisions, too, that I've regretted. How about sending that email? You ever done that? Someone cheeses you off or, someone criticizes you. You get all defensive and you craft this, 10-page email, just scathing. You're going to get back at this person. Or you're going to speak your mind and you have this moment where you're like, oh, I know I shouldn't send this. And then you push the button. And you can't take it back. And then you find out it gets distributed across the planet. Right? That's a foolish decision. You know better, but you do it anyway. I remember the first time I bought a new car. Naive decision the first time. When you drive those things off the lot, you lose half the value, right? Well, 5 years later, forgot the pain of that, did it again. Foolish decisions. Sometimes foolish decisions can be very painful. Another foolish decision I made recently is on the Fearless Class retreat, jumping off that big rock at the Red River Gorge. I knew better. Last time I jumped off a high dive was back in high school, and I hit the water hard, and it was painful. But sometimes we ignore the warning label, and we do it anyway, and we can pay for it. Well, here's the sad thing about fools and making foolish decisions is that sometimes the bottom has to fall off. I mean, fall out. We just crash. Proverbs says the companions even of fools suffer harm. So if you're making foolish decisions, if you're making decisions you know are wrong, man, I just urge you to stop and ask yourself, what is the wise thing to do in this situation? Don't be a fool. Third person Proverbs tells us about is the mocker, okay? Now, the mocker can be a dangerous person because the mocker is not only a fool, but the mocker will mock those who are trying to make wise decisions. You know these people. They just love getting into trouble. They don't care about the consequences, and they want to get as many people down that path with them as they can. But Proverbs says this, cast the mocker out of your midst. Get away from them. Destruction is imminent. So if you're hanging out with someone who mocks you for making good decisions or trying to make godly decisions, listen, that might be a relationship you need to get away from, because the Bible says destruction is imminent. And then lastly, Proverbs talks about the wise person. Now, we just don't sit in this chair very often, because it's just easier sometimes to make the spontaneous, naive decision. Sometimes it's easier just to ignore the consequences of past decisions and do it again because it feels good or whatever, or it meets our needs. But Paul told us the wise decision is the one to make. That is a decision that God wants us to do. And so here's three principles of making wise decisions. Again, if you can just ask these three very simple questions, I promise you that it will reduce the amount of pain and suffering that you go through in life. I mean, yeah, we're still going to make some wrong decisions occasionally, but with God's help and God's word and the truth of these principles contained in Proverbs, listen, we can live at a much higher level. So number one, in light of my past experiences, what is a wise thing to do? You see, our history predisposes us to certain choices that we'll make, right? And a lot of times we have very short memories, don't we? But ask yourself the question, you know, have I been here before? It kind of feels like maybe I've been here before. Yeah, I've been here before. And I remember when I made that same decision, things didn't turn out so well. So ask yourself, in light of my past experience, what is the wise thing to do? Number two, in light of my current situation, what is the wise thing to do? A couple years ago, I had a young man who had just gotten divorced. Very painful situation, very sad, a lot of emotion, certainly wasn't planned, a lot of other things going on that caused it. But here's the bottom line. We had kind of walked through that journey for a while, and he felt like he was pretty stable, ready to move on, you know, he thought. And he asked me, he said, well, Mike, when should I start dating again? And I was like, oh, man, that's a big decision, isn't it? When should I start dating again? I said, I tell you what, here's my calendar book. Let's turn the pages to a year from now and circle that date. And I said, you can start thinking about it then. He's like, man, that's kind of harsh, isn't it? That's a long time from now. I'm like, exactly. In light of your current situation, the wise thing to do would be to wait. Don't rush into another relationship. Just wait. Heal. Restoration. Seek God. Let God work. Give him time. Who knows? God has the power to restore your marriage. But if you take off and start dating again, probably little chance of that happening. And so in light of my current situation, what is a wise thing to do? Some of you are wondering right now, should I get in a relationship with this person? You know, maybe you're struggling with some emotional challenges in your life, or maybe you're just on the brink of getting through school or other things in your life. Maybe the wise thing to do is to wait, because in light of your current situation, it may not be the wise thing to do. So you can apply these principles to pretty much any situation. How about some of you who are going to graduate? You know, one of the greatest temptations of new graduates? Go buy a new car, like I mentioned earlier. But in light of your current situation, student loan debt, looking for your first job, not a wise thing to do. Resist that temptation and ask yourself, what is the wise thing for me to do in this situation? And number three, this is perhaps the best one, in my opinion. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Because we always think about now, don't we? We don't think about the future too much. But listen, it's just around the corner. It's not far off. Matter of fact, it'll get here quick. So in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? I mean, this, you can apply this to everything. It applies to financial decisions, future relationships with your spouse. You've heard those messages before. In light of my future hopes and dreams and the kind of relationship I hope to have with my spouse and my family, you better ask yourself, what's the wise thing to do in this situation? Your vocational dreams, your major, whatever it is, in light of where you want to be in 5, 10, 20, 50 years, what is the wise thing to do? If you ask yourself that question, it'll cut through all the layers of justification and selfishness and motives that we could do without, for sure. And you know, no one plans on making a mess of their lives. No one says, you know, when I'm 45 years old, I'm going to have an affair. No one says, when I'm 30, I'm going to be hopelessly addicted to whatever. Parents, we never talk about, you know, hey, I think I'm going to talk to my child in such a way that he or she will resent me for the rest of their life. I don't think I ever said that. But sometimes if we would just ask ourselves, you know, in light of my future hopes and dreams, my relationship with my kids, my family, significant people in your life, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to say in this situation? So we got to quit trusting in our own ability. Proverbs says, the one who trusts in his or her own heart is a fool. Gosh, that's strong, isn't it? But he or she who walks wisely will be delivered. Let me close with this passage in Proverbs 1. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public square, in the streets, and at the gates of the city. How long will you naive ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery? And how long will fools hate knowledge? When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a hurricane, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. Why? Because it'll be too late. They will look for me, but will not find me. But the wise will be delivered. That's a great promise, friends. The wise will be delivered. So listen, whatever chair you're sitting in, try to get out of it and sit in the wise chair. Because if you ask yourself those questions, you'll find yourself living the life God intended for us to live. Will you pray with me? God, thanks for your word, which is timeless, so relevant, so packed full of wisdom and great principles for our life. No matter where we're at on our journey, your word is always right there to give us instruction. So help us, God, in this time in our life, to ask ourselves, what is the wise thing to do? And then help us to wait, not launch out, but just to wait. Wait on your voice, and perhaps even to wait for that wiser person that you have just around the corner for us to run into, that might be able to speak into our life truth and great advice that might help us in our journey. Thank you for this time together. Bless all of our students, our visitors. God, speak to them. enrich their lives in great ways wherever they end up going to college. In your name I pray. Amen. Hey, you've been a great audience. Give yourself a big hand. You're dismissed. We'll see you next week.